In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, a podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center, this is Binge or Cringe.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And this is where we tell you what's worth watching. So many people on the Facebook, what should I watch? I just finished Ozark. What should I watch? It's like there's a podcast for that.
I've watched everything on Netflix.
Well, everything.
Hey, no, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
That would literally take years that you don't have. But B, yes, it's a role that we've been filling well before the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
We're here for you. And we love it because, sadly, I watch so much stuff, I often forget, what have I watched? But you, Adam, did something extraordinary. He discovered there is a channel for sports.
It is. Like, it apparently, it is just for the sports.
And then he watched something on said channel.
And, like, there's a multitude of sports. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not just talking about, like, Quidditch either. Like,
real sports.
For reals sports.
You watched
The Last Dance. And this is actually an era where I did pay attention to sports. Like, there is a lot of, there's a lot of males that just, they constantly want a game on. Like, it doesn't matter, if it's basketball, if it's football, if it's, college, if it's professional. Some people just, they need to have, conflict and resolution, in a nice, hour and a half, 2 hour, span between spandex-clad people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it, obviously, because at one point in my life I did. But, long story short, my dad worked a lot when I was younger. My uncles all moved away. My grandfather passed reasonably early. So I spent most of my time around, my mother, my aunts, my grandmother, my sister, my cousins. So there wasn't a constant need for somebody to put on a game because most of the people I was around were women. But the one sport that I did pick out myself was basketball. And in particular, the Chicago Bulls of the 90s era.
And what made you choose that? Was it the sporting attire? Was it the SNL?
I have
stuff?
Literally never picked anything for what somebody was wearing. I've never just been like, well, look at them. They look at that. Look at that lovely frock they seem to be wearing.
It's fresh. I'll watch it.
I did. That is quite lit. I will check that out.
What drew you to it?
I mean, honest to goodness, you can debate me on this. Michael Jordan,
uh-huh,
played for the Chicago Bulls in this era, and I still rather firmly believe, he was the greatest basketball player that ever lived. I'm not saying that nobody else was any good. Mm-hmm. It's not me trashing anybody else. People bring up, the Lakers, the Celtics of that era, or everybody's got their player that they, LeBron James is better than, But I firmly believe, and I watched a lot of these games live. It wasn't me going back and revisiting these, a decade
later.
So you
would plan your evening.
Right. This was a point in time when I would, in the same way that I will pick out a television show or a movie now, I'd just be Chicago's playing the Pistons. I need to watch this. They're in the
third
game.
And so you learned other names of teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't do, if it's anything beyond 1998 or 1999, if it isn't Tiger Woods or, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Any sport that happened after, if it's not Tiger Woods, I don't know anything about it. But this was a very dominating team once they got into that particular rhythm, in particular once Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan kind of found their footing and they started putting these other pieces
into
it.
See, Pippen's a musical, so I remember his name.
I don't think they are related.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I don't recall Scottie Pippen being in the musical Pippen. I don't remember them playing sports of any kind in Pippen. But I'm not. It's been a minute since I've seen it, so I could be incorrect. But like, it was just a fascinating look into something that I remember very distinctly from like my teenage years. Like I can remember like somebody having like a, and this is before like MP3 players or anything, or like you couldn't stream like YouTube. Somebody had like a radio, like, and it was in their jacket and they were running the microphone like from their there to down in their palm, and they would kind of make it look like they were leaning and they were telling people what was going on in the game, because we were at like an assembly of some sort like later, and all of us wanted the stupid assembly to get out because we wanted to go watch like this game in the series. And like, it's just, it doesn't happen that way because information is so like ready and like just at your fingertips. Like I can pick it up right now, Google anything that, like, if sporting events were going on, like I could know what the score was within like probably like a 5 minute, like, you know, an error like window.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a different era. And
did you have Air Jordans?
I didn't, because we didn't make that kind of money. But
and they were like over $100 in the 90s, right?
Yeah, they were. Jordans have never been cheap. Well, I had friends that had Jordans, but like.
But did it make them jump like him? I don't think they did.
A lot of them were not in shape.
Oh.
So like, it could have, if they were holding up their end of the bargain. I'll put it that way. I want to be delicate about it. if people say anything about me, it's that I'm a delicate fellow.
You are delicate.
That's what they say.
Yes, and they
should.
It then.
They should. They did.
So you watched.
Last Dance. It is a 10-part documentary airing on ESPN. They do two episodes every Sunday. They are four episodes in right now. I have seen 2.5 of these episodes, and so far they've kind of they'll kind of detail part of the year leading up to the finals, which would have been this is the last year that those Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson, who coached them, it was their last like year together.
Mm-hmm. Thus
and
the title.
You will see like a little bit of like, you know, this happened in this part of the year, but then they'll kind of do a flashback and they'll detail about the origins of like the first episode decided to delve into Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the point that he remembers where people quit calling him Mike and he became Michael Jordan. Like Scottie Pippen, you get to see his backstory. Like apparently, like his father suffers a stroke very early on, and his brother is paralyzed in an accident. Like
horrible.
You start learning about, and they're like, so like basketball became for him, kind of an escape from all that. He's like, you know, we would do stuff to, you know, help my mom. Like he apparently had a multitude of brothers and sisters, and he's like, it just kind of became an escape for me to, you know, relieve me a little bit from, like, the reality of my life. Hmm. And, like, he turned to that. Like, Dennis Rodman is featured in the third episode. Like, you start understanding, like, what turned these people into the individuals they were when you meet them in, I guess, kind of the climax of
Bing.
The...
Is that Michael Jordan?
I had an idea. That's,
oh,
that's what
I
happens
see.
When I have an idea. But like it shows you what kind of what their headspace was during this, and like what led them to that point that you're kind of entering into in the documentary. And it's just, it was a very fascinating point, because even before like any of the rest of this, it was pretty well known this was the last year these guys we're going to be together. So going into it, we all kind of understood we're not going to get to keep seeing like this particular team anymore.
Yes, that's a big deal.
And like even at the time, like it was still a very large deal. So getting to kind of relive that, because this is something else that like I've learned the older I've got, like you get very nostalgic for things that will instantly place you in a mindset. Like, I was a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, like when I was 11. And whenever I hear the music for the first stage of that, like, it has this bizarre calming effect to me. Like, it puts me just directly into that. And I remember that, you know, as being a time that I had fun. I remember enjoying it. And just hearing that particular music will put me back into that place in time. And in the same way, like, I would have been 17, 18, like, during this season of the Bulls run. And, like, I didn't have a troubled childhood. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, like, I, you know, I enjoyed my school years. I enjoyed being in college. Like, this was a fun era for me. And I haven't given sports a second look in 2 decades at this point.
What drove you away?
Honest to goodness, like,
was
I just
Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, that didn't drive. I've always been it wasn't. I had to pick one or the other. Like, I just that's always been a part of me. I've been a fan of Star Trek since I was 7. Like, Star Wars, like, probably the first time I saw it on the big screen when I was 3. Like, that was just ingrained in me. I think the problem that I ran into after that is, like, I really just didn't think any of the other, like, potential dynasties were as impressive. It's like having just this delicious, like, T-bone steak, or you get this, like, just prime cut, like a New York strip, and, like, that's the first time you've ever had steak, and you're just like, wow, this is just succulent and delicious. And then the next day somebody's like, oh, here's a tomato and bologna sandwich on bread.
Stale bread.
And you're just kind of like, you're like, well, I mean, it nourishes my body, and I was hungry.
I wouldn't say bologna nourishes. But...
I mean, it. Now I'm not hungry, but, like, I'd like, even the when I'd watch like Kobe and Shaq, mm-hmm. like in the Lakers, like I didn't get that adrenaline rush that I did when I watched the Bulls play in that era. And eventually, like, I just never found anything that kind of satiated me in the same way. And eventually, I think I was just kind of like, okay. And, like, I mean, I'll pop my head in occasionally if they're just like, this guy's good. And I'll be like, oh, what's that fellow's name? But I've never wanted to connect with basketball or, like, I mean, any professional sport, like, the way that I did there. And it was just funny that they picked this microcosm in history. Like, because, I mean, it's not even about, like, the NBA in general. It's not about the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. Like, it's about one particular season, and it's one that I remember very, like, it's odd because, like, but I'll be talking to my wife about it while it's going on, and, like, she knows that I don't talk about sports, and I will say things before they happen on there. I'll be like, yeah, I go, this is right before they played the Pistons, and then, like, the announcer will be, and later they took on the Detroit Pistons in the, and, like, it's just, it's this person walking around the house talking and sounds and looks like me, but this one knows about sports.
Wow, that's fascinating.
But what they don't know is that's the only one that I know about. Like, it's like going up to, like, a man that speaks, like, no English and can't do math, but they ask him the one, like, mathematics problem that he knows. And that's the only experience that you have with him. You're just like, oh, well, obviously, he must know about math.
No.
You happen to ask the one question that he did know.
So, for those who do not know or know a lot of this era, would they find it interesting?
They give you so much backstory that if you were not alive during this or you weren't paying attention to it, like, while it was going on, they're giving me information that I didn't know, and I was into it at mm-hmm. this point. It's not like one, like a sequel, like, that you have to have watched the first one. They are giving you so much information in this. If you didn't know who the Chicago Bulls were and you had no idea who Michael Jordan was, you are getting enough information in the course of it. And, like I said, it's a 10-part series. Each episode is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are just giving you, like, I mean, this is like a Tolkien-esque amount of info Like, I mean, they are just like info dumping you. Like on
Certainly watching this on ESPN would be an excellent choice.
I don't think I have ever brought up I got the bundle, the Hulu, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus bundle. I've never touched ESPN. Like, I didn't care about the clips. I didn't care. Like, it would give me updates. It'd be like, oh, the draft. And I'm like, shut your mouth. I don't. Drafting what? You didn't draft this. And then, like, I finally got it. And, like, I'm texting my friends because, like, it won't immediately. Like, I think there's a day delay when you get to watch it on the app. And I'm like, and I'm asking them, like, hey, how can I watch this? And they're just like, they're like, I see that it's your number coming up. What? Why are you asking about? Has someone took Adam's phone? Or do you want to ransom him? Like, what's wrong? No. This is Adam. No, it's not. Adam would never ask a sports question.
And rightly so, Adam did not contact me to ask. So, good call.
Well, I knew. Jay, can I have your login to ESPN? You'd be like, what's that? Is that what's that an acronym for? Is that?
Anyway, so it does sound, well, you know me, I love a good documentary.
There are subjects I would never have touched otherwise. Sports films engage me, but I think it's because it's a movie. And if you create a narrative that I enjoy, like, I don't really care what it's about. But, like, a good documentary, like, can really, if it's doing itself correctly, will pull you into the subject whether or not you're a fan of it. But this one just happened to be something that intersected with my life at a certain point that I was very into. And it, like I said, it's unusual because I hear myself saying, hold on, I'm bringing up ESPN. And, like, my kids don't ever hear, they don't hear me say that. So they're just like, Dad's watching sports. Is delusion, like, one of the corona?
It has to be.
Does he have the Roni and, like, he's went mad? His father, mama, papa.
So, you're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Allen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth watching because we have a lot of streaming to do. And I really went out on a limb, much like you did in a sporting event. I chose to watch something made by the Russo brothers starring Chris Hemsworth. So unlike me.
And he wasn't, what, did he have a hammer? Was there a hammer? Was it a magic hammer?
No.
Was it imbued?
But he did put the hammer down.
Whosoever will be worthy, did they possess the power of Thor?
So, you have, I'll just show you the picture. The name of the Netflix film is called Extraction, and Chris Hemsworth looks like the kind of person who does extractions and is not a dentist.
Like, he does not. He does not.
He's not fooling around.
No. Like, he.
So, short version, I enjoyed it in as much as it is what it is. This is a movie where you really don't need to try to follow too much with the plot holes. And if you've never seen a movie of this genre, then you'll be surprised by everything. But within the first 5 minutes, because I saw a blurred out fair-haired child's feet dancing on the sand, I said to myself, oh, this character called Rake, Tyler Rake, has clearly lost his child, cancer, and is haunted by it. And that's why he takes on all the difficult cases, because he doesn't care if he lives or dies. And now he's going to connect with this young boy that he is supposed to extract.
This sounds like a film that Schwarzenegger or Stallone
would
have done in the late 80s.
Now, production value-wise, exactly. I mean, it's made by the Russo brothers. This is exactly what you would think. It looks like it came out last year in something called a theater. Now, a movie theater is a large room that people used to go and see films
months ago.
So this was, I'm guessing, filmed in India, or appears to be.
I do think it is, like, specifically worthy of noting that, like, even when we say this is a, it's Netflix, correct?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
Netflix, when we say it's made for Netflix, like, I still feel like the made for, like, DVD or made mm-hmm. for, like, has a connotation, like,
of straight to
a pejorative context of, like, negativity. Netflix, like, what was the, Triple Frontier? I think the one with Ben Affleck and
yeah,
Oscar.
Yeah, that like, one. That's what it reminded me of.
I'm just telling you, like, these movies, like, really, if you do not know better, there is no reason to believe this thing did not show up, like, in a theater. Like, they are not cutting, like,
no.
It does not look like cardboard sets and, like, any of this. Like, these are films that very much could have had, like, lives in
yes.
theaters.
Now, Chris Hemsworth, in the event you did not know, says mate a lot because he is from Down Under and gets to speak in his natural tongue.
Which is, he no longer has to speak.
No.
Verily, Stark, I say
no.
to thee.
He just gets to talk. And, of course, he is haunted by the death of his son. He's not actually haunted. And the story is there are these two drug lords in different parts of this country. I'm pretty sure it's India. Anyway, it's India.
It's a country.
Let's go with that. I mean, they may have said the names of cities, but I didn't recognize them, but I'm going to go with India.
You didn't, mate?
And so he is brought in because drug lord number one has a normal son who's pretty much removed from him, and drug lord number one is in jail. Drug lord number two is angry because that's how he rolls, and so he has the son, who's 14, kidnapped. And so the extraction team is brought in to save the boy. And then things go awry.
They never go off smoothly.
No. Now, luckily, for virtually every fight scene, it is as if they were stormtrooper mercenaries. And therefore, Chris Hemsworth's character
nothing.
Is able to, they very politely, sometimes they will come at him two at a time, even when there are six, so
this,
that's nice.
This really is an action movie from the late
yes.
80s. Like,
but
and you said the Russos produced the movie,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
It sounds like they are making like a side career out of hiring actors that they worked with on Avengers. Like, cause
oh,
did I
not mention that David Harbour is in it as well?
Well, they also produced what? What was it? 21 Bridges that has Chadwick Boseman.
Mm-hmm.
Like in it, I'm just saying, like, they seem to be just going, well, we did work with them. Like, and like, they shot Endgame, so they've probably worked with every living actor. Like,
yes.
If you haven't seen that movie, just name somebody.
They're
they
in
were
it.
Probably in it.
So, there are lots of cliches. But these are cliches done well. And there is another guy who is a special forces guy who is not from Australia, who you think, we don't know if he's a bad guy or a good guy. He's a good guy. But so he's like the Indian version of Chris Hemsworth. And I remember, spoiler, it's like, oh, I didn't want him to get shot up. But it's one of those things where no matter how many times all these guys get shot, they can just look at the kid and still get up and still keep going and keep going.
They're not really operating on, say, like, laws of physics.
No.
Like, it just...
So most of the assailants and Uzis will miss the heroes, and there's more than one, and the heroes will be hurt but can still keep going. And, as a matter of fact, at the end, we even went back to look. I'm unclear as to who I saw in the last frame. It's like, was that Chris Hemsworth? Or was that his father? Which one is it? He's blurred. But because he's doing something that Chris Hemsworth does in the first 5 minutes, I'm making the jump that it's Chris Hemsworth's character, Tyler Rake. But is it? I don't know. The end. So we watched the whole thing waiting for end credits to explain it. There wasn't.
Not so much. Now, no. there has been reports that they are, I guess, prepping a sequel or a follow-up. I don't. Is it still a sequel if it appears on?
Or is it... Well, there is, of the team, one person or two. The women survived. And so the women's.
Good for them.
Yeah, the women's could still be part of it. And, you know, they're the contact people and the money people, but can also handle an Uzi because who can't in a movie like this? And so I
the
could see.
The bad guys can't.
I could see you taking the Hemsworth character again and having them, you know, extraction to the mole. You know, that could happen.
Yeah.
I could see that, and maybe they would do it in some snowy place, and it'd be different.
Well, I mean, if you
and yet the same.
If you will look at a lot of action sequels from the 80s and 90s, like, you really didn't need much of an excuse. Like, the fact that Under Siege has a sequel, like, to it. There's three good Die Hard movies, and then there's some more that they made later. Like, most of them are based around the fact that it's this character, and you just you kind of you want to see that person go do that. Like, the selling point of every Die Hard is not necessarily how complicated or intricate the plot is. You want to see John McClane shoot at things and blow things up.
Yes,
and probably
and open up a can
and probably curse.
Yes,
like some like that was the fun of those movies. The Schwarzenegger, like you wanted to see him as the Terminator.
Yep.
Terminating stuff.
And says funny things. So I did enjoy it on the level of the kind of entertainment it was. It was, I guess it was related, it was rated mature, but it was because a lot of people, the Foley artists were very busy, but you didn't see so much. You just heard a lot of squelchy noises and a lot of shooting.
And you just you're left to assume that they probably pass.
Things are dusty. Cars drive backwards on narrow streets and then turn around really fast. You know, that move. And you have a perfectly delightful 14-year-old who apparently can bond immediately and get the whole backstory from the surly hero who doesn't quite say, come with me if you want to live, but almost says it.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to say that unless you are a Schwarzenegger. Like, Chris Pratt could probably get in a range now since he is going to be the father of Arnold Schwarzenegger's grandbaby.
Yes.
Like,
so
who knew that Star-Lord, that would be a thing Star-Lord did.
Wow.
Yeah, Star-Lord is the father of the Terminator's grandchild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it seems right, anyway. So, I did enjoy Extraction for what it was, and it was certainly well made.
It's okay, like, to just be like, there's a lot of Stallone movies that I'm not going to say they're good, but, like, I've seen them, and, like, I didn't leave upset that I had seen them.
Yes.
Some action movies, I mean...
That is what this is. This is just an action movie.
It fulfills its qualifications. Like,
yes.
And it's okay sometimes to just be pretty good or mean, just going, well, I didn't regret that. I don't need to come back here. Like, but that was enough fun.
Yeah. It was a movie I hadn't seen with someone who I like seeing in movies. And stuff blowed up real good. So, there you go.
Which, again, is also most of the qualifications you had to have to be a... to be an action film in the late 80s, early 90s.
So I, in the way that it was, it brought back fond memories for you to watch the ESPN documentary of the 90s, I guess this connected with me to action films of yesteryear.
Which were very much kind of like the westerns of the yesteryear. Like,
yes.
Action movies were everywhere in the 80s and 90s. And like, they're not gone now, but like you don't see them with the prevalence. Just like, you know, back in the day, you could throw a rock and hit a Western. Now, you know, one or two may come out like a year. Like, maybe one of them is, you know, exceptionable. You know, maybe one is unremarkable.
Mm-mm.
It, you know, it just depends. But, like, it's always interesting to see people revisit genres like after, I don't want to say expiration date, but after, like, I guess their dominance mm-hmm. in the market.
And much like in Disney films where they off at least one parent in the first 10 minutes, in these types of action movies, the star is like he is because his family is gone because of some horrible reason.
Because of terrible reason.
Yes, and that is what makes him what he is. So it is familiar ground, but I enjoyed it. And hashtag Chris Hemsworth, hashtag Thor.
I mean, however much he might not have enjoyed the first two of those movies, and I don't think anybody really enjoyed the first two movies that much. Like, Hemsworth, like, is definitely benefiting from being Thor.
Yes.
I mean, not for one, he was one of the co-stars in one of the highest grossing films of all time. And if you've ever heard the two of us talk about Ragnarok, like, it's pretty darn amazing.
My kids sometimes amaze me, but they are from my loins. And I don't get to say loins very often.
Not enough.
No. And I had Ragnarok on the other day, and my oldest said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "What do you mean, am I okay? You only put Ragnarok on when you're sad."
I mean,
it always puts me in a good mood.
It is your comfort food.
It is.
Like, but, like, it's also just a really funny movie. And, like, Hemsworth is really
so funny.
Charming and funny
yes.
in that. Like, before that, like, I watched the other ones because I watch literally every Marvel movie. And, like, I left those movies. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And, like, you know, I had fun with them in the Avengers movies. But Ragnarok, I think, is the first time that I was just like, oh, wow. I didn't realize the Thor movies could be this much fun.
Yeah.
It's too bad we realized this on the third film.
I have expressed this to one of my sisters who has not seen Guardians of the Galaxy, nor has she seen Ragnarok. I don't watch superhero movies. But she watches Star Wars. And I said, look, I don't care what you think of any other superhero movie, but I'm telling you, you will like Ragnarok.
Well, I mean, and, like, it's so disconnected from everything else. Like, as much as people are like, do I have to watch all 21 of those movies?
No.
If you want to get Endgame, probably you're going to benefit from having seen, you know, at least 12 of those 21 movies. Ragnarok really does not require you to, like, you don't even have to have seen the other two Thor movies. You need to understand that, like, he has powers and his hammer he likes. After that, like, just sit back and enjoy. Like,
yeah.
It really is just, it's as funny a movie about Norse mythology as you are ever likely to see.
True that. And it's truly, I would put it as a top 20 comedy. And it's probably not listed as a comedy. It's listed as an action film.
But I think it definitely has the possibility to qualify. Oh, let's do Get Help.
I don't want to.
No,
do get
I don't
help.
Want to. Oh, but then we're definitely doing it. Like, it just, you.
Yes.
I know we're not reviewing that right now.
But we should.
Like, it's on Cinemax or HBO, or you own the thing, or, like, it's available on.
Just come over.
On Vudu or, like, Disney Plus. Seriously, if you haven't seen it, watch Thor Ragnarok.
It does make me happy, and I do watch it when I'm sad, but I also watch it just because I like it, so I can see how it confuses the children. Anyway, Binge or Cringe, where we did not review Ragnarok, go see it, but we did review, what was the thing you watched again?
Last Dance.
Last Dance, also a Donna Summer song, and Extraction, not about dentists. Thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
You've been listening to Binge or Cringe. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center.